about a half inch of rubber, thick, with 30 to 40 pounds of air in it. And you get in that car and you drive that vehicle 70, 80, 100 miles an hour on something that's a half inch thick gauge of rubber. You have faith in that tire.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
A wonder in my
soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Turn them to the book of Job, chapter 23, verse 10. Job, chapter 23, verse 10. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time of hearing your word, for allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Removing everything that will hinder us from not only hearing but heeding your word. We pray, Lord God, that you would do in the text and in our hearts what you desire to do for your glory and our good. So we thank you in advance for setting us on Straight Street and giving us a clear and plain path to walk. And we'll walk according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Job chapter 23 verse 10 says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The New Living Translation says, as pure gold. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. We have heard this verse of scripture and we've heard the story many times, but my desire today is to give you what God gave me for you in a fresh revelation of this text. One of the things that I love about this story of Job is that God continuously brings new illumination and new understanding to the trials and to the struggles and to the troubles of Job, who was known as a man of patience. One of the things that we will be careful to understand is Job did not have the privilege of having a Bible, Old Testament or Old Testament and New Testament. All he had was his faith in God. All he had was his relationship that he had developed with God. And based upon what he himself had experientially developed, it was through the guiding of God's Spirit that Job experienced everything that he went through for the glory of God and even for his own greater good. One of the things that I want to help us understand in the text most immediately is that Job, again, didn't have the privilege of knowing that there were two contestants who drew him in as a pawn. And he did not know all of the inner workings around his situation. And so he didn't have the privilege of knowing what we know when we go through the troubles and struggles of our trials and our tests and our challenges. But what we do gain from Job is the fact that Job loved the Lord so much and was so committed to God that he lived an exemplary life before God and man. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you begin to look at this and understand this, it makes a lot of sense, because when Job, in this 23rd chapter, it opens up in the first 9 verses, and it's literally just telling you that Job, going through all that he was going through, was looking for God. And when you've ever gone through some of the darkest days of your life, when you've ever gone through some of the toughest struggles of your life, when you've ever dealt with things that you've never dealt with that magnitude before, you want to know God is right there. The Bible says he was looking for God. He went forward and he went backwards. He looked to the side and to the other side, but everywhere he looked, he could not find God. But here was a revelation that he discovered. Even though I don't see him, he sees me. And it's comforting to know when you can't find God, he's not lost. Sometimes he backs out of your situation far enough for you to feel like he has departed from you, like he has left you alone. He wants to show you that he's already given to you what you need to handle this situation. And Job discovers this experientially, that though God doesn't show up when he calls him, though God cannot be found by seeking him and putting his hands on him, he comes to the understanding that he sees everything I'm going through. So then he says in the 10th verse, but he knoweth. Now I'm going to take my time and walk through this because I want you to have understanding. Now, he knoweth, this very word knoweth comes from the Hebrew word yada. And listen, it gives the deeper sense of knowledge, past, present, and future tense. He knows things that I can't begin to know. He knows my going out and my coming in. He knows the thoughts and holds the reins to my mind. He knows it all. But listen at what this is really talking about. This word here in this context means he knows my character. Isn't it good when man don't know your character, God knows your character? He know it. And see, if God knows your character, what it simply means is he knows what you'll do and he knows what you won't do. You know when you know somebody and you know their character, and that somebody tells you this about them, you'll be like, no, that don't sound like them, because I know them. And they wouldn't do a thing like that. You see, when you know somebody and you know that you know that you know, there is a great confidence in that character, both in the light and in the dark. So he know it. He knows my character. What else does he know? The way. The way. Well, what does the way symbolize? My course. If he knows my character, he also knows my course. In other words, he knows my path. And when God knows your character, he knows that just some places you won't go. Y'all going to catch this on your way home. There are just some places I don't stop. There are just some folk I don't associate with. There are just some things I'm not going to try. If y'all get any quiet, I'm going to think y'all did something crazy here. He knows my path. He knows when I recognize that's not the right way, I won't go down that path. He knows the way that I take means the choices that I make. So that means he knows my character, he knows my course, and he knows my daily choices. Now that says he knows me. And Job was saying to each of us today that God knew his character, his course, and his choices. But now here's where most of us are confused at in this next portion of the verse, which says, when he hath tried me. Because what a lot of folk don't understand is this word tried. And this is where the two contestants came into the play that Job didn't know anything about it. And so what we need to do is go back to the first chapter of Job, verses 8 and 9. And the Lord is speaking, and he asks Satan, has he considered his servant Job, that there was none like him? He was a perfect and righteous, upright man. He loved God. He hated evil. And listen at this. God bragged on Job. Why? Because he knew his character. He knew his course. And he knew his choices. You see, God is not going to ever brag on somebody he's not sure of. Here's another benefit I think I ought to let you in on. He already know what you're going to do before you do it. Matter of fact, Psalm 139 and 16 makes clear that everything I'm going to do, he's already got it recorded in the book. So he already knows the beginning and the ending and everything else in the middle. So when God brags on you, it's old news. Y'all ain't trying to have no church here today. It's all news. And so now, listen at this. Look at Satan's response. Doth Job fear thee for naught? Wow. But does Job really fear you, God, for nothing? Verse 10 goes on to talk about you put a hedge around him and all his stuff, make it simple. You put a hedge around him. I can't touch him even if I wanted to. But now look at the challenge now that comes in verse 11. What does Satan tell God to do? Y'all got Bibles? Can you read it? Read it. He tells God simply this. You know what? You think he serves you for nothing? Take your hand off all his stuff. Release what he has all protected on every end, and he'll curse you to your face. Look at verse 12. God said, I won't do that, but what I will do is give you power to do it. But what he tells him, don't touch his life. So now I want you to hear this, and I know some of you know it, but some of you may not know this. Here is where the challenge begins. It is Satan and God over Job. It is not about Job in and of himself. It is the devil betting God that Job isn't who God says Job is. Now, here's what I need you to see. I need you to see who's doing the trying. Whenever you go through a trial or a test, 9 out of 10 times, it's the devil. Well, the Lord is trying me. Oh, is he really? Why does he need to try you when he knows you? I just think I'm going through all of this and I'm going through all of that because the Lord is, you know, he don't put more on you than what you can bear. He ain't put none of this on you. Now, he promised he wouldn't do it, but he ain't put none of this. He permitted the devil to do it. Now, if there is a trying, there must be for a specific purpose. Well, then what is God's win out of this? His win is to prove you. The devil is trying you, but God is on the other hand to prove you. It goes something like this. Every time the devil did this to Job and Job came out, the devil said, that wasn't tough enough. God said, I told you so. And they bring him through something else and Job come out of that. Devil said, well, that wasn't strong enough. God said, I told you so. You see, God was on the proving side. God knew what Job could do, and everything God permitted Job to do and go through, it was simply to prove to the devil that Job was who God said he is. And so some of us need to understand that, get our minds right, fixed right. When you're going through some stuff, some hard stuff, don't think it's God sending you through no trials and tests. God already knows you. God already knows what you're going to say, what you're going to do, how you're going to act. He is proving you that you're stronger than you think. He's stronger than what the devil thinks you are, that you've got more in you than you even know. He's proving you, not trying you. And so it was so the devil would know that God was right, that Job was the most perfect and upright man, one who loved the Lord and eschewed evil. He was one who had a word, who had character, integrity, who was all that God said he was and not like Satan. You see, the problem with Satan is Satan thinks everybody's like him. Smile in your face. You know what else. All the time want to what? Yeah, ain't no backstabber. That's Satan. That's Satan. You need to wake up and realize that. And that's what God was proving to him, that Job was not like Satan. Listen at that well. So the next time your trials and your tribulations come, etc., you just smile and say, thank you, God, for proving me. Because what it's saying to God is, you finally got it right. You stop blaming God for all of the stuff you're going through and putting it on God and saying, why would a holy God allow this unjust thing and do this to me? Why do bad things happen to good people and blah, blah, blah? You start realizing that God is proving you to the devil. You see, the devil does have a right to test you. And see, that's what our Christians need to understand. We are representatives of God in this earth realm that's leased out to the enemy. The devil has a right to see whether or not you are who God says you are. You are in the world. This is where he has his power and dominion. Listen, if you got your Christian carrying card, then the devil wants to see every now and then
How much can you handle? Are you for real, or have you gotten this, you know, on the back street somewhere made? Because they got a whole lot of phony Christian cards. Look like a Christian, walk like a, throw their hands up in the air like a Christian, all of that. Go to church like a, but ain't no Christian. A real Christian will be tested and pass the test every time. Let me move on to the end right quick. Notice what he says now. I shall come forth as gold. First two words, I shall. Confidence. He's so confident, listen, in himself, that when the trial is over, he's going to come out of the trial a victor. Now, let me help you understand why he's so confident. And it's simple, and yet it's profound. Because when you know that you know, that you know who you are, you are that going in your trial, going in your storm, going in your problems, and even while you're in there, you still know who you are. And when all is said and done, you're coming out of there, listen, better than you were before you went in. Let me put it another way. Let me make it simple so you can grasp this. Goal in, goal out. I got a sprinkle of you who got that. Job knew he was the real goal. He wasn't no fool's goal. He wasn't no plated gold. He was the real thing. He wasn't that stuff that shimmers and sparkles for a little while, but don't rub it too much, you know. He was the real deal. And he knew there was no phoniness about him. He knew that there was nothing but realness about him. His decisions were real. His choices were real. His life was real. So he had nothing to hide. And my brothers and sisters, you can walk tall when you can walk like that. You, whenever folk lie on you, you know it's a lie. You ain't worried about it. It's going to come to naught. It may take a minute for them to discover it's a lie, because the one thing about a lie is they ain't going to just lie on you. They're going to lie on the wrong person. And then that's when all of that little stuff is going to come crumbling down. All you got to do is maintain who you are. You don't let what folks say about you determine you. You determine who you are by what God's word says you are. And when it's all said and done, your talk will harmonize with your walk. And your walk will harmonize with your talk. And listen at this. So the first thing is, he says, I shall confidently. He speaks confidently. But something else, he sees clearly. He sees clearly that he shall come forth. Shall come forth. He speaks confidently because he knows who he is underneath the skin. He sees clearly that I'm coming out of this thing. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but I'm coming out of this thing. I shall come forth. Now, this is an interesting word, come forth, because when you look at come forth together, it literally implies at least three things. One, that there has been a level of preparation. There has been a level of presentation. And then there is another thing called process, a level of process. Every time you come forth, it's for a purpose or a conclusion. come forth. Purpose, conclusion. When Jesus called Lazarus, who had been dead in the grave for 4 days, listen, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, it was for a purpose, to prove that Jesus was the resurrection. And though his situation was dead in the hand of the one who is able to turn all things around, he showed he had power to reverse the situation. It wasn't over till he said it was over. When the three Hebrew boys went in the fiery furnace, the king said, didn't I throw three in there? I'm looking around in there. Lo, I see four. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. But here's what they didn't understand. When they threw the three Hebrew boys in there, if you remember the story, the men who threw them in got burned up. And nothing happened to the three Hebrew boys other than their shackles, their ropes, their binders all fell off. And listen, they came forth out of the fire with not even the smell of smoke on their clothes, nor the stench of smoke on their clothes. Listen, go in. Daniel, he was prepared, and they wanted to worship this great big God of gold. And he was like, no, I've already talked with my God, and I cannot bow to no a God like that as well. And he could not, and even with others, the same problem that the three Hebrew boys had. But Daniel had it first. But he had other issues with them because of his holiness and dedication to his own God. And when he was thrown in the lion's den, Darius couldn't wait till the next morning to come and find out if Daniel was all right. And when he got down there the next morning, he cried down there, Daniel, are you all right? Daniel said, long live the king. I want you to know everything is all right down here. The Bible says he called forth for Daniel to come up out of the lion's den, then threw in all of the men that threw Daniel in, threw in their wives, threw in their children, got rid of all of them because he was able to make it through the process because he loved God. So when you talk about come forth, it's for a purpose or a conclusion. And some of you think about it. There are some things, the only reason why you made it out of 2016 into 2017 is because God ain't through with you yet. You have not fulfilled your purpose. You have not concluded the work that he has for you. So don't think you're here because you've done everything right and well. God is held by his own word. And you come forth to do what God has called you to do. And the last portion says, as gold, or the New Living Translation says, as pure gold, which means tested, tried, refined gold. And my brothers and sisters, there is nothing more precious than gold that is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's real gold. Now, I know you got some friends who act like they're gold friends, members of the gold club, but the truth of the matter is they haven't been tested. They haven't been proven. You don't really know if they are who they say they are. You ain't never been in a situation to know whether or not their word is their bond. You don't know. You've not been there to understand how they operate when things get thick and they thin out. Y'all getting quiet on me, but that's all right.
For my way, you're the... Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Or call area code 225.